Hello, everyone. Welcome to Game Junk Prototype, episode 46, recording on January 30th, 2021. My name is Frank.
My name is Sean.
And my name's Andrew.
And we're going to be revealing our top 10 most anticipated games of 2021. I had a lot of fun making the list. I don't know about you guys. It kind of got me hyped for this year, and I had forgotten about a bunch of games coming out. So that's the first or the main thing we'll be talking about this week.
Mm-hmm.
You guys good with that? Yeah. And people might be asking, are we talking about the GameStop? I found myself saying GameSpot all the time or to other people. So GameStop stock situation, we're not going to talk about just because it's being talked about by a lot of people. Not directly gaming related. I know very little about what's going on, and it just seems like we really have no insight to provide here.
Did anyone invest?
I did not.
I did not.
No comment.
Okay, so if you're looking for stuff on that, look elsewhere. I don't want to speak for you guys specifically, but we don't know anything about it, or probably as much as anyone else. So we're going to do our top 10, and I think we should just get into it. Are you guys ready to start?
Sure. Yeah.
So 2020 was actually, we talked about this, a really good year for games. If my memory serves, 2019, one of the worst years for games ever. That it's years like that when, you know, Control ends up as your number one game of the year. And it's not just Huck, it's all over the place. That was happening, which is just crazy.
I gotta finally play this game. It's coming to PlayStation Plus this month.
Yeah, right? And it's on Game Pass already. But that's why I brought it up as well, because it is on Game Pass very recently, and it is the PlayStation Plus game for February, and you get the PS4 and PS5 versions. So
right, yeah.
Some PS5 content, which is nice. I'm debating playing... Now, that's a game I should stream, just to play through it and tell you exactly why I think it's bad. I feel like I could do that very well. That game and Yooka-Laylee are two games I feel I could destroy.
So wasn't there some controversy with the PlayStation 5 version, how you had to like buy the upgrade or something?
Well,
or
initially they announced it and there was a Control Ultimate Edition, I believe, which had all the DLC, and it was not free if you had bought the PS4 version. And it was, I think, it wasn't as expensive, but you had to buy the Ultimate Edition to get PS4 and PS5, which is the version that's free on PlayStation Plus next month. So Control getting out there. I'm assuming maybe in June a sequel announcement might be coming up. When I see stuff like this, would not be shocked at all. Anyway, enough talk about Control. That's old news. So let's get to our top tens. Anyone want to go first? I'll go first. I'm talking. So my number 10 most anticipated game of 2021 is Deathloop. Now, I might be getting pulled in by the like beautiful marketing surrounding this, the videos, the presentation of everything I see with it. There is a rogue-like or light element in this kind of looping game, which has me intrigued as well. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think it got delayed a couple times. I'm not sure where it stands right now. I mean, I will say that like 3 or 4 of my games, I kind of doubt they'll come out this year. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm just going with what they say is going to come out this year. So right. Deathloop is my number 10.
Yeah. I also, like, I guess I tried to keep it to games that I actually think will come out this year. So there's a couple big ones that aren't on my list. Maybe that's stupid. I don't know.
We'll God of War Ragnarok is the one you're referring to. You can...
but my number 10, I went with a little indie game that I've been looking forward to. I assume, you know, it says 2021. I think this one's got a pretty good chance of coming out this year. Tunic, which is sort of the Zelda-esque game, but anthropomorphic fox. I mean, I read some interviews with this. It's the single developer, I think, working on this game. And, you know, it sounds like he's pulling in... There's a lot of puzzle stuff in the game, like maybe more than you might expect, so...
I think that guy is Canadian, too.
Yeah, I think so. From, like, Halifax or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. It's got announced a long time ago, so I've always been eagerly anticipating it.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that one. My number 10 is probably not on any of your lists, is Sherlock Holmes Chapter 1, which is the next game from Frogwares in the Sherlock Holmes franchise that they've been doing. And I really enjoyed the first Sherlock Holmes they did, or I guess the most of the most recent ones. They've done a lot. And then the second one I didn't like as much, but I hope they can kind of rekindle what I really liked in the first one and then get it back into this one. It looks like this is sort of like an origin story type Sherlock Holmes story, and I'm looking forward to it. See what happens. Now, I don't think there's been any gameplay or anything, so not really high hopes, but we'll see what happens.
So, I mean, I'm kind of aware of these, and I've always meant to try some of them out. Was the most recent one Crimes and Punishments?
No. The Devil's Daughter, I believe, was the most recent one. Okay. And that is the one that's not as good. Crimes and Punishments is really good.
Okay. I think I have that one from something, like Games with Gold or something.
I know it is on Epic Games. If you've been getting the free Epic Games,
okay,
it's definitely on there. And I'm sure it was on Game Pass at some time, but maybe not now. Or Games with Gold. Yeah, it's in Games with Gold as well.
Okay, cool.
Okay, my number... I'm making some adjustments here because I forgot about the game. My number 9 game is probably Sean's number 5. It Takes Two. It Takes Two. That is a co-op game from the creator of Brothers, A Way Out, and I think that's it. But it looked really cool in one of the latest showcases we saw, and like kind of out there art and ideas, and I think it looks like a lot of fun. So it might actually be higher on Sean's list, is my instinct.
It didn't make my list.
It didn't make your list?
I was debating between this and Tunic for number 10, and I thought, you know what? Frank's going to mention it, so I'll mention this other one.
That is so fucked up, dude.
My number 9 is Dark Alliance, or I don't know if it's actually called Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance now, but this is kind of like the reboot of the Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance series, sort of Diablo-esque action RPG. I think it was supposed to come out last year and got delayed, so definitely hoping it'll be out this year, but looking forward to this.
I have a feeling a lot of games will be slipping this year, especially if they're targeting consoles, just because of lockdown.
Let's be clear here, Sean. You think this game will be delayed to 2022, but you included it where other games...
No. It was supposed to come out last year, got pushed to this year.
Oh, I'm
year,
sorry.
Which to me seems like it's a pretty good chance it will be out this year.
I was kind of editing something. I shouldn't have called you on that. Sorry, I'm an idiot.
Okay. My number 9 is Bright Memory Infinite. This is a game that had like shooting... melee mechanics, looked really good at, I think it was an Xbox showcase.
Oh, yeah, I remember
a little while ago. And I watched some reviews of Bright Memory, which is kind of like a prologue to this. And this wasn't going to get on my list, but then I watched the prologue thing, and it was giving me some serious, like, Binary Domain. Like, it's like this, like, fantasy sci-fi mix version. It's like sci-fi characters and stuff, but then there's dragons. So and it had like all the like corny dialogue and stuff that you expect from a game like Binary Domain, and it cracked the list. It wasn't going to, but once I saw that, I was in.
Definitely.
Nice. My number 8 is Halo Infinite. Which, I mean, when a game gets that big of a delay, part of me is excited that they're going to make it better and make it a great game. In general, I'm a fan of the Halo series. Halo 5 was probably my least favorite. I love Reach. I loved 1. I played it, I think, last year, and I still think it's a great game, but I don't know if it holds up by today's standards. But I love the concept. I love the general gameplay. And I'm, I guess, always excited for a new Halo game.
Okay. My number 8 is Back for Blood, the co-op horror shooter game, very much inspired by the Left 4 Dead games. And I'm just looking forward to having some Left 4 Dead style fun with friends. So I think this will be good.
My number 8 is also Halo Infinite. And I have not really liked any of the 343 Halo games. So that's, I'm not too excited for this one. I didn't like 5 and I didn't like 4. But I'm with Frank. Reach is probably the best. And I really like the Halo series in general and the shooting and everything. So I think this complete departure from the traditional Halo, I mean, I guess Halo 1 and 2 were, you could consider them kind of open world, sort of. So this is probably giving them a little more leeway to play with. So I hope they take with it and run. And I think also after showing that debacle of a trailer to reveal the game, I think that they've kind of gone back and they're going to hit the drawing board and make sure it comes out with a pop. So hopefully they succeed.
Is this open world, this Halo Infinite? Is that official?
I would assume.
I guess I remember them, yeah, like looking at a map or something like that.
They showed. Yeah.
I should have taken off my list. Oh, no. Forgot about that. I think they should be going the opposite direction, personally.
All right. Somewhere between a traditional Halo experience and a full open world is the quote.
That makes sense based on the map stuff we saw earlier, I would say. Although ODST was pretty interesting in a relatively open map. So, all right, my number 7 is, I think I have the title right, Kena Bridge of Spirits.
Oh my goodness, Frank, we have the same list.
So I remember loving the video for this. I can't remember the studio's name. I should look it up because...
Yeah, it's a new studio, I believe.
Let me see here. Ember Lab. And I thought the art looked amazing. And not just in a trailer, like pre-rendered idea. Like they showed gameplay stuff that looked great. Reminded me of Beyond Good and Evil. And I'm in. It was supposed to come out this year, they said, or end of 2020. So I'm assuming it's going to be 2021. And can't wait.
Yeah, I can't picture in my head which one that is. There was like a bunch of games that I remember we talked about from various events last year that were cool, but like the name never stuck with me. So there's probably a few that should be on my list.
We looked it up. There was like those little black furry creatures called the Rots. And there was like plushies for them, I think, available already and stuff like that. Come on, Sean.
Nice. Okay, my number 7 is Resident Evil Village. Still haven't played the demo. But
haven't played the last 3 Resident Evil games either.
That too. But I, you know, the stuff they showed at last week's showcase definitely got me more excited for this game, and it's actually coming pretty soon. So I'm ready to jump back into Resident Evil.
Sean, I'm going to give you a recommendation. Just give up on the other ones. Just commit to Village.
Don't even play the one that 7. Don't even try 7.
Forget it. It's gone. It's in the past. Make a commitment to Village. This man.
I mean, that works for me. I that.
You said the magic words. My number 7 is Kena Bridge of Spirits, or Kena. How'd you say it, Frank?
Kena, but I have no idea what the right way to say it is.
I was watching some gameplay trailers, and the combat looks really smooth. It looks really interesting. Looks like there's maybe some puzzle aspects to the combat as well, which I find interesting. And yeah, just like what Frank said, I'm looking forward to it as well.
My number 6, this is the one I'm guessing that's on my list that is not on either of your lists. Biomutant, which I've really been looking forward to.
Yeah, I was going to put it on my list, and after they just announced the release date, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I really like the look of the character. It's right up my alley, you know, animal bullshit. And I think the combat looks fun. The bosses and creature designs look amazing. I love 3D action games. And this potentially could be higher. Obviously, there's some uncertainty with it, but if it actually achieves what I think it's trying to achieve and is a good version of that game, it very well could be my favorite game this year.
I was watching some trailers and I was liking the look of it, and then it said Tower Unlocked, and then it showed a giant open world, and I said, nope, not going on there.
I'm fine with open worlds.
I do not want a Biomutant Assassin's Creed game or Far Cry game.
Yeah, but this is why I think Biomutant will be different. I remember videos with it, and it's the thing that defines or determines a great open world game for me. The locomotion looks fun. I remember the creature like flying up walls and like getting from place to place was exciting, not cumbersome. So that's another reason why I'm in, all the way in on Biomutant.
Yep. Okay, my
it's
number
gonna rock. I can't wait.
Is it me or is it Andrew?
It's you. Yep, it's you.
Number six is Axiom Verge 2. Not expecting a new Metroid from Nintendo this year, but this could be the next best thing. I actually really liked the first one. It took me a couple times. I bounced off it the first couple times I played it, but when I finally got into it, I really liked it. So, yeah.
My number six is the Mass Effect Legendary Edition with the remastered versions of all of them. I'm interested to check out how they've improved the textures specifically of 1 and 2. 3 probably could use a touch-up as well. And if they're going to touch the gameplay of 1 and ruin the series, or if they're going to keep it pure. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think they said it's just an HD kind of upscale of these games.
Yeah.
Which is kind of disappointing. I think like it would be a great franchise to, you know, if you redo the artwork or reconceive like the basic elements of 2 and 3, I think it would be interesting to apply that to part 1 and just kind of unify, get some trilogy cred throughout, like, and drop that as the ultimate trilogy cred version of Mass Effect. That I would be really excited to play, but just HD remasters. And don't get me wrong, well, I also love Mass Effect 1. I got every achievement in it, which meant beating it like 5 times. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll come up with the Mass Effect Ultimate Legendary Edition that does that down the road.
I'm in. My number five is the game with the best logo and title on this list, Resident Evil Village. And played the demo, wasn't blown away, but overall, I loved, was super impressed with 7 after I had heard bad things playing it this year around Halloween. And I think the setting is more interesting and is going to look great on next-gen consoles. So I'm back in on Resident Evil.
Okay. My number five is Halo Infinite, which I really have high hopes for. I mean, obviously the stuff they showed last year and the delay was not great news, but I feel like that actually is a good thing overall, and they're going to regroup and come at this. They know it has to be amazing. And I mean, I'm looking forward to it just in the sense that this is probably going to be the excuse for me to have to buy a Series X and probably a lot of other people too.
Start saving those optimum points, bud. Get there.
Yep.
By the fall.
My number five and Frank's number one, Horizon Forbidden West. I didn't like Horizon as much as you guys did, probably, but I did really enjoy it. And I'm interested to see. I'm a big fan of Guerrilla in general, Guerrilla Games. So I think they're going to do a great job on this game. I would prefer a new Killzone game, but, you know, can't have everything you ask for.
Cool. My number four should be Sean's number one. It wasn't. Is Back for Blood. Because he's all about co-op games. Like, that is his favorite thing.
Well, and wait till you see my number one.
And I've said it forever. Like, how was there not a Left 4 Dead 3 or a sequel or anything? Because it's one of the most intriguing and underutilized video game formulas out there. And I can't wait for a new version of that. And based on the footage we saw, I thought there were amazing new, like, attempts at design elements focused around cooperation. So people getting trapped and having to help them. And if they really bump up the cooperative elements, I think it's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm hoping. My number four is Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, or just Rift Apart. I'm kind of disappointed that it feels like they kind of tricked us a bit with this one, because it was supposed to be a launch window game, quote unquote.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. We're closing the launch window pretty soon.
Yeah, I mean, there's no release date yet for it. So I'm feeling like it's going to be second half of the year, probably. And that's definitely not what they said originally. But I think it looks amazing. I have never played all the way through a Ratchet and Clank game, but I am definitely ready to do it with this one.
My number four is God of War Ragnarok. Now, I don't have very high hopes that this game is going to come out this year, but I am very excited for it. And I really liked the first reboot that they did, which I think was that 2018?
Yep.
I think it must have been, right? Yeah, so I mean, it'll be like 3 years. That's probably a reasonable amount of time for a sequel where they're going to have a lot of the stuff already done. And yeah, I really hope it'll probably be this holiday season, I imagine, and looking forward to it. I think I'm interested to see how they, you know, take what they learned from the first game and hopefully can improve upon it. You know, God of War is known for doing huge, giant boss fights, so it'll be interesting to see how they step it up on the next-gen platforms.
Cool. My number three is God of War Ragnarok. And I replayed and platinumed the original God of War, or 2018 God of War, this summer. And really liked it, but the actual completing it 100% was kind of getting on my nerves. Especially, the biggest problem with that game to me, even though I love the game overall, is the map. And the lack of connectivity and pathways get blocked. And trying to backtrack and explore the entire map and understand the map is a pain in the ass. And I don't think that game gets, you know, called out enough for its annoying map and structure of the world interconnectivity. So I actually want to watch the, what was the Raising Kratos documentary? Has anyone watched that?
No. I don't know if
I've kind of heard that of at some point in the documentary, and I don't know if this is kind of hyped up to make the story in the documentary, that they were late in production and people thought the game was really bad and they had to fix it. It seems weird to me that a game of that level could get that far and be horrible. Like the combat, I think specifically the combat, they had real concerns with. So to fix that late, I want to check out that documentary in the next few weeks, but, in general, I really like the combat, but I like it a lot more in the second half of the game without spoiling anything. And I don't know. I'm curious to see where it goes. I think it's going to look amazing on PS5. Just fix that map and we're good to go.
Definitely.
Okay. My number three, it was on, I think, Frank's list already, Deathloop. Which, you know, Groundhog Day ripoffs was on the Film Junk Moratorium nominees, I think, for the Junkies this year. And there's getting to be a few of these in the video game world as well. But, I think there's just a bunch of them coming out this year specifically. And anyway, I still think it's got a lot of potential in games, and I think this one looks very interesting. I agree the marketing has been pretty slick. Maybe that's, you know, giving it a bit of an edge just because of that, but yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Well, it is interesting. Like, in some ways, the Souls and Souls-like games are Deathloop games, right? Like, you die, everything's in the same spot. It's like understanding and learning about the world as you fail. So I, just a general thought, I don't know how this game is going to, like, maybe take that idea to the next level from a narrative standpoint. Like, that's why Groundhog Day is great. Like, the observations and comedy that comes out of if you could do the same thing over and over again. And I don't know if there is anything unique to discover about a video game version of that that isn't something like a Souls game. Like, oh, I start to learn about the world. Now, if they have found a way to take that to another level and the actual act of replaying something there's some new idea there. I think it really could be, I dare I say, transcendent game.
Well, I think a game that just recently came out that does exactly this is Hitman 3, where basically you're giving...
That's a good example of that.
You're given the one level, and then you can do a ton of stuff in it and do lots of missions different ways. Tons of stuff you can change based on how you learn about the level. So
I'm assuming that you have to be able to affect the world in some way, though, because if everything just resets every single time, well, I mean, I guess that maybe I don't know enough about what they're doing plot-wise. I was thinking of that
game.
It
is kind of like a Hitman. Like, the Hitman has done that as well for a long time, right? Like, that's right. How Hitman works. So, is it just a first-person version of Hitman? I don't know. That's what we need to see, Sean. But the marketing is telling us it is more important than that.
Right. Well, and, I mean, like you said, it kind of all games, in a way, are kind of this. But I was thinking of that indie game Minute, where everything is... 1 minute loops, and you do actually affect the world. It's kind of like, what can you do in 1 minute to progress the story forward, and then you reset. So, I mean, I don't know if it is like that or not, but
that sounds pretty interesting.
There was another game that I believe came out on the PSP or the PS Vita called like Half Minute Hero that did a similar mechanic where you try to branch out in the world and do as much as you can in 30 seconds and level up as much as you can. Kind of same idea. My number three is Hogwarts Legacy, which is like Harry Potter school, I guess, open world. I don't know. There's not too many details on it, but it kind of looks like an interesting take on the whole magic in, you know, a world situation. And I'm kind of interested to check out the Hogwarts, the Harry Potter universe in video game form.
I just assumed, not that I even am that excited for that game, like I'm not into Harry Potter, but I assume that's a 2022, maybe 2023 game.
They just announced this month it's delayed to 2022.
Oh, no.
Definitely not.
Disaster.
Yep.
All right, I'll put Tunic in there then.
Nice. All right,
bump it up, get Tunic in. I'm going to do something unprecedented here, Sean. I'm sorry. But... I'm going to talk about my number two and one at the same time and maybe encourage both of you to do that because I'm sure, well, maybe there isn't a lot of carryover.
Well,
but
I think one of yours is definitely on mine.
So I have a completely boring, so I can talk about something completely meaningless in the world, which is the use of colons in titles. And Sean, you mentioned Ratchet and Clank. And you said Rift Apart, or is it just Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart? I assume, meaning, is there a colon separating those two?
No, I wasn't sure if it was a Rift Apart or Rift Apart.
Okay. Well, I thought you meant, is there a colon there? And that's why I decided to do this. And, you know, my number two is Ratchet and Clank colon Rift Apart, which I think looks amazing. I loved the remake of the original Ratchet and Clank, and having played... or attempting to play the first Ratchet and Clank over the summer, it was painful. So that series has come a long way, and I love Insomniac, and I cannot wait to play this game. And my number one is Horizon Forbidden West, no colon. And I was kind of shocked to figure out that Horizon Zero Dawn does not have a colon between the two. It is one title. And I mean, I can't think of another franchise, anything that does this. I'm sure there are some, but I just couldn't think of one. There's always a colon. And
Immortals Fenyx Rising?
Yeah, Horizon was here first. Sorry. So,
it's usually the sequels, right? Because then they have to, like, tack on
but
something.
This sequel does not have a colon. So they either predetermined or have gone down a road where there are no colons in the titles, except for Horizon Zero Dawn, colon, Frozen Wilds, the DLC. So it's just very interesting to me. Way more interesting to me than anyone else in the world.
You're like channeling your inner Tim Rogers right now with this rant.
I guess. But I just think that's, you know, strange, and I kind of like it. And I obviously love Horizon Zero Dawn. It may be my favorite game of all time. It's pretty close. And I don't know. I just cannot wait for the sequel. I think... the new location will be amazing, and I can't wait to get back into that world and have a trophy excuse to do that, because I would play the other game if you just give me a new set of trophies. I'd play it over and over again if I could prestige Horizon Zero Dawn. I would many times.
I'm quite shocked by your number two there of Ratchet and Clank over a game I have in my number two slot.
That's not on my list at all?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, we will see. That is, I'm actually sweating, and I said this on Film Junk, and we have to get a GIF or figure a way to do this. We've both been playing Murder by Numbers.
Yeah.
When someone like kind of catches someone in the act, there is literally a sweating reaction where there's like a sound and a drip, like boop, like when they start to panic. It is literally sweating, a visual representation in that game, and I absolutely love it, and we need to incorporate that into this podcast somehow. I should put it on the soundboard, just that sound, when the sweating sound.
Dig it out.
I will do that. Anyway, no surprise, Horizon Forbidden West, assuming it comes out, I am, but I'm not 100% sure on that. And also Ratchet & Clank. And while another reason I wanted to talk about two of these, and I guess number three, God of War, colon Ragnarok, all three PlayStation exclusives, and there's quite a few PlayStation exclusives on my list, as I assume there are on yours, and our top 10 list last year, dominated by PlayStation exclusives. Yet, when I talk about that the console war is over, I'm always told I'm being a fanboy and like, oh, you just like PlayStation. Yet you guys also seem to confirm my instincts with the console wars. So again, I will continue to play Xbox and do play it regularly. Just when I say it's over, I mean, who's going to sell more? Who will be the dominant platform of the next generation, in my opinion? Well, sorry, I went on a huge rant there.
I think there's only two Sony exclusives on my list, and there's actually a couple Microsoft exclusives on my list.
I feel like that was a calculated choice, and if I think Halo Infinite was isn't Deathloop PlayStation exclusive at least for a year?
That's one of the two, yeah.
Right. Kena? Did you have Kena Bridge of Spirits?
No, I didn't.
This guy's a joke.
But just to
Resident Evil Village?
That's an exclusive?
I don't know.
I don't think it is, but maybe it is. Or maybe timed exclusive. Okay, well, this is a good point to say I don't have God of War or Horizon on my list.
What a hero.
Which, you know, whatever. Like, I feel like there's a good chance they're going to get pushed to next year, for one. For two, I haven't played really much of Horizon Zero Dawn yet, which I guess I need to make a point of doing that this year. But, you know, I just thought I'll throw in some other stuff because these ones are obvious choices, but... my number two has probably been on my most anticipated list for the past 3 years or something. Psychonauts 2. I think hopefully it'll finally come out this year, but still have high hopes for it. And my number one is Gotham Knights, which is the WB Montreal kind of Arkham spinoff. Like, it's not in that universe, apparently, but it's a co-op
I should have seen this coming.
And I can't wait. I'm chomping at the bit for this one.
He's been training Kieran his life.
It was my number 10. I bumped it for Biomutant, which I had forgotten.
Mm. Nice.
So my number two, which I was shocked, is not on Frank's. Little Devil Inside, which is hopefully coming out this year. Frank, did you forget about this gem?
I mean, it was one of my most anticipated games in 2015, I think. I've learned not to put this game on my list, so maybe it was just off my radar completely. I've programmed my brain to not include it on
very
most
possibly
anticipated lists.
I watched some of the PS5 footage. It looks incredible. Hopefully it does come out this year.
My prediction is that it does not.
Yeah, probably not. My number one is in the same vein of the Deathloop games you were talking about, but 12 Minutes, which is, I believe, you are in a room and you're trying to save your wife or something like that, and it kind of just loops Groundhog Day-like as you try to figure out and solve the crime or solve what happens. And obviously it takes place over 12 minutes, hence the name. And I think it looks really interesting. Now, one overall... trend in our list, no Nintendo titles.
Oh, yeah. I was going to bring that up. Don't worry.
I almost put Bravely Default 2 on my list, but I know I've seen some lists where they're saying Breath of the Wild 2 will be coming out this year, seems unlikely, but it could happen. Nintendo's been known to just drop things whenever they feel like it, like a Metroid Prime 4 trailer.
And I will give Nintendo the benefit of the doubt on that. They typically don't announce games until very close till their launch. Except Metroid Prime 4.
They don't really have anything announced through this year other than that the new Pokemon Snap.
It's clearly a new console coming out, especially with Breath of the Wild 2. That is kind of the Nintendo move. A Zelda game they announce on one console, goes to the next, but it works with the previous gen as well.
Mm. Yeah.
That would kind of fit in line with how they went. They did the... What's the Switch version that you can't disconnect the controllers?
Lite.
Switch Lite, I think.
Oh, the Switch Lite. So that is kind of their thing. They kind of had the main version, then some Lite version, then next gen. So I don't know if we'll see it this year, but I like your thinking there, Frank. I see they do have Monster Hunter Rise, which apparently is Switch exclusive, which I'm surprised about. But I know the Monster Hunter series is quite gigantic. And Hollow Knight Silk Song? Is that the sequel to Hollow Knight? Or is that just DLC?
I think that's DLC, but I think there is a Hollow Knight 2 in the world.
Yeah, I'm very confused. It
looks like that's coming to PC as well, so that's not totally exclusive.
All right, yeah. So I don't like the term honorable mentions, and this is... there's a few games I wanted to mention just because... Maybe perhaps in an honorable way. So the gunk I saw on a list, I think Polygon's list, which I'd never even heard of it, and I didn't have time to look into what it is, but it looked pretty cool.
We did talk about that at some point.
Did we? Okay.
Yeah, it was in one of the showcases, and yeah, that's an honorable mention for me.
Returnal is coming out soon on PS5, which is Housemarque or Housemarquee. At some point in my life. Well, it's coming out in March, I think.
Well, it got pushed to April, I think.
Oh, okay.
They announced some kind of delay.
Okay, so that, I love their games. I'm really excited to see a, you know, double A, triple A version of something they make.
And I believe it's a roguelike.
Is it? I thought it was like a story-based game.
It's another time loop game.
Oh, shit. Balan Wonderland, which I think is Yuji Naka's Sonic creator new game. And, you know, I don't love... A lot of those games, like Burning Rangers is one that comes to mind, Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg, but I generally think they're interesting, and there is the potential, if the gameplay was solidified, for one of those games to be great. So I'm interested in that. And lastly, it's weird because I play it a lot and I never put it on a most anticipated list, but it reminded me of one thing. Call of Duty, whatever the next Call of Duty is, I am anticipating it. And the reason I want to talk about it is I was playing last night, and there's a bug sometimes where vibration doesn't work on that game, the first match you play. And I played my first game, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, this feels like the weirdest thing in the world. Call of Duty uses vibration, I think, better than any other game on the planet. Like, it is a completely different experience with or without vibration in the controller, to the point where I'm like, I don't know how PC players like it without vibration. Like, the sense of immersion with like an impact when you shoot people with it, like, they use vibration to subtle and great effect in that game. So I don't know, it was my excuse to talk about that, and I'm in.
The only other thing I will throw in for discussion is the Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake. Kind of looking forward to that. I don't know if that's going to do anything amazing other than just repackage a pretty solid old game, but we'll see. And I should correct, Hollow Knight Silk Song is the sequel.
I thought it was, yeah.
Weird naming, but I guess that's what happens when you have a lot of different Ultimate Edition this or whatever, and you give them different names, it gets confusing.
Hawk, anything else to mention? Perhaps honorably?
No, just Bravely Default. What was that?
Or dishonorably, maybe?
No, just Bravely Default 2 just slipped off mine. And there's a couple others, but I can't remember what they are right now. Returnal I had, but I'm not really that interested in that game, to tell you the truth, at all. Dishonorably.
The PlayStation backlash begins. Just because I'm... Any PlayStation exclusive must be excluded. Okay, moving on. That was fun. I actually had a lot of fun doing that list. It has me hyped for 2021.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, like we were just talking about, I'm very curious to see what Nintendo does this year, because they got to have something planned. And there's like it's just a big hole on their calendar right now.
You'd think they'd want to release some games in 2021.
Yeah.
Okay. And when I was talking about the next console will come out in 2022. It's just, it's going to, they'll be pushing stuff, and that clearly seems like it's going on right now.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad Nintendo's waiting to release things on the next console. Like, why rush it and put it on the Switch when you can make it better on the next one? I, for one, am super happy that they're delaying all these games and not releasing anything this year. Like, who wants to release anything in 2021? Nintendo's the best. Okay, what we've played. One of you guys can go first.
Go ahead, Sean.
Well, I don't know if I was going to talk briefly Cyberpunk. So I finished the main story this week. I don't have too much to say. I thought that the end was a bit of a disappointment, but there's like so many different endings that I'm like, maybe I just chose a shitty one. I don't know. So they released a patch this week, and it's interesting because I just basically installed the patch right before I did the final mission. But I actually was starting to get crashes more frequently, but almost all of them for me were driving around the city. So I don't know if it was just like streaming issues or something, but I just started using fast travel where possible. But other than that, I mean, I still really enjoyed the game, and I actually am thinking when they finally release the sort of upgraded PS5 version, I might go back and do more of the side quests. I did some of them, but there's obviously lots more to do. I probably put in 30 hours, I would estimate. So, did you get a chance to try it, Huck?
No, I did install it. It took a while. And I am hoping to get to it too. Yeah, so I'm hoping to get to it this week, though. Because of the lockdown, I get the game until basically like middle of February. So I got a little extra time than just the normal 1 week. So I get it for like a month. So I'm hoping I can take advantage of that whole month and actually get to play it.
It might even be one of the few times where like the hype of the game and preventing it you from getting from the library benefit, because you have like lots of patches now to improve the experience.
Yeah. I'll probably have to update it again when I finally turned it on to.
Now, did you install it on your base Xbox One?
I sure did. I wanted to see how much crashing it was going to do. If it's really bad, I'll take it up to the dev kit at 1X.
Might as well get it on there now. Get it installing. You're going to want to do that.
You're gonna have to
don't have access to that. I don't have access to that TV as much as the other one. So it's like the family TV up there.
Also, I was just reminded of something that I'm curious with you going back to the beginning, if you're going to bring up some things, but I was remembering like we talked about the investigation sequences that they have, Frank, you remember the whatever, where you can kind of go through like a hologram sequence. I forget what they call it, but it's kind of like an Arkham Origins, Arkham VR kind of thing. And they have a couple of those. Yeah. They have a couple of those early on and then they just are gone.
I am not surprised.
That was definitely something that it feels like they either cut from the game at the last minute, or maybe there's a couple in some of the side quests, but like the main storyline, there's none after the first couple hours. So
I imagine really someone in the company playtesting and saying, "Who thought this was fun?" would be my thought there.
Yep.
I could go next. I played a little Indivisible after Frank was talking about it last week. And I was just going to echo what he said, is that there are a lot of controls, a lot of things to do, a lot of things to remember. Each character has sort of like unique abilities that you need to trigger in certain ways that is really hard to keep your head. Like, I can't even imagine if I were to put this game down for a couple weeks and then come back, how I would ever remember how to play this game. I know there you can look at it in a menu, but it would still take a long time to rewrap your head around everything that's going on. Even like, I'm not even that far. I'm only a couple hours in, and already I'm kind of struggling to remember some of the stuff they're throwing at you. And I know, Frank, you said you almost beat it.
Yeah, I'm close to the end. I was going to kind of say the things you're talking about where, I mean, like any game, which I'm not surprised, the further I get in, the less polished it becomes, and I get frustrated with areas and balancing issues as I continue to go on. And also, just, I talked about the basic battle mechanic, which is face button mapping, and which I love, and I was not surprised, although it was kind of insulting to find out, like, my assumption was this cannot be the first time this has been done. And you said, Valkyrie profile.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. That makes sense. And I really like it. But like you said, each character has certain abilities on those buttons. And I don't think there's great meaningful choice or design decisions between picking between up, down, and basic attacks. Like, I find one is clearly more powerful. I don't see that much benefit to using other ones, to the point where when I find something that works with a character, I use it over and over again.
What do you use, up mainly?
It depends on the character. It's different for every character.
Oh, okay.
And it's totally like, I mean, it's the job of the game to me to at least have enemy designs that motivate you to use different things. And the one case they have of that is like this defense mechanic where you have to do an up attack followed by a down attack. And it's not much fun. I'm going to tell you, it like is really annoying, especially because some characters have an up and don't have an up that works with doing it. So my guess is they were trying to motivate you to use different attacks more often. And eventually they're like, probably this isn't fun, or so it kind of all kind of got muddied up by decisions like that. But overall, I'm still enjoying it. I want to finish it because it ends tomorrow on Game Pass. I'm close to the end. If I wasn't so far invested, it feels like a game I might be giving up on right about now. Some areas are super long, and I'm just like, you know, this game, if it was 10 hours shorter, would be amazing. That's the general rule. I know I talk about it all the time. Every game developer, make your game shorter. Do not worry about reviews.
I must say, though, now I'm only 2 hours in, like I said, but I actually am really liking the pacing that they have right now, where they give you like one battle and then there's some platforming stuff and then another battle. Like, it's not battle, then like
a long section
of platforming. It's nicely paced out, so you can, and you recover your health after each battle, and it seems like the save points are nicely spaced so that if you do die, you really don't lose that much progress. They seem to put a save point really before any hard fights you might come across.
It's a little inconsistent, though, because there was other times, it doesn't happen often, where I would die and I'd have to like I can skip the cinematic, but it really took me far back. And I'm like, that's uncharacteristic of this game. So overall, it feels like a game that I think could have used, any game I can say this about, but it's really true with this game. It could have used a few more months in the cooker,
couple months, so to speak. Yeah.
Like, and I really think it could have been amazing at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like it a lot.
Do you have anything else, Frank? Or
I have one thing that I'm assuming is the same for Sean, but...
And I have one other short thing I can talk about, but Cyber Shadow, I assume?
Which I played about an hour or so of.
Yeah, which I liked it. And I think last week we mentioned it was Yacht Club Games.
They're the publisher.
But yeah, they are the publisher, not the developer. It does still feel like, in the same way that Shovel Knight was sort of a retro 8-bit game with a little bit of some modern stuff to make it a little bit more accessible, it's kind of the same thing. Like, it is a difficult game, but there's checkpoints, you know. It's not like you only have 3 lives to make it all the way through a world or something. There's a lot of instant death stuff, and some of the platforming is frustrating in that old school way.
Well, but specifically with the limitations of jump, right? So, and there's enemies that have kind of random or curved movement patterns that they're tough to anticipate, and like you can't aim attacks, right? It's like a basic cut attack. So
yeah, it's like Ninja Gaiden. Yeah. So
I have another game that it actually reminds me of a lot, and I'm sure Ninja Gaiden influenced this game, but I don't look at every publication, how they're reacting to Cyber Shadow, but I don't know if you had this thought. The game that it reminds me the most of, any care to take a guess? A Nintendo game?
No idea.
Batman. The Sunsoft Batman game.
Hmm. Yeah, I could see that.
And I really like it so far. I obviously am comparing it to The Messenger, and in my gut, I'm like, oh, this is going to expand at some point, or I'm putting like preconceptions of The Messenger on this game, and I don't think that's the case.
I did the same thing. I thought they were going to do something like The Messenger as well, which I think may be a mistake.
Yeah, and I mean, I kind of like it for what it is, but overall, if it continues at this rate, I think The Messenger will be a much superior game, in my opinion, but I still like it for what it is, and I think I'm going to keep playing it.
I've been sticking with it more than I thought I would so far. I've made it to the end of the second world or level or whatever. Now I didn't finish The Messenger, whereas you guys both did. So I'm definitely, as I'm playing, I'm like, maybe I should just be playing The Messenger, but I am still enjoying it. And, I'm going to keep going. I guess the only other thing in terms of like new mechanics or something that sets it apart, like when you get to a checkpoint, you have these sort of a currency that you can use to refill your health or give yourself a temporary power up. Which I found I haven't used at all.
I didn't even know I could do it.
Yeah.
Maybe you haven't got to the point yet. Oh, okay. There's a point where it pops up and says, oh, here's some options.
Oh, because I'm hitting those checkpoints and I have these yellow pellet things that I'm collecting that I'm assuming are for buying things, but I haven't been able to do it. So I'm still pretty early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it is. But I mean, because you have a limited supply of these things, I just find I'm not buying them because I'm like, well, do I really need it? I'll just keep trying. And then I just never use it. So I don't know. It's a little weird, but
I have the same problem with games, especially Neo and Sekiro and stuff like that. And the biggest piece of advice I could give just use use it. It's there to use.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Anyway. Oh, the music is amazing too. Like I love
the music. The soundtrack's fantastic. I like the art style. Huck, did you have something else?
No, I just played Cyber Shadow as well.
Oh, yeah, what did
just
you
a
think?
Little bit. I thought it was pretty good. I thought, like you guys were saying, with the enemies that kind of do the like wave attacks or like a wave motion, like on a sine wave, they are tricky to kind of judge, and especially since you basically have one attack, like exactly what you guys were saying, just one attack straightforward. You don't have much variety. Maybe there's more weapons down the road that help with those guys. I was also finding, I guess, the first boss or mini boss, that sort of like wall thing in the middle that comes down with the fire. I was having a little trouble dodging some of the fireballs here and there, like in certain formations that they did. It didn't feel like there was really a safe spot for me to get away from it. But overall, I thought it was pretty good. I thought it felt pretty good. I haven't played too much. I didn't even get to the second area yet, so I just got past that first little mini boss. So, and then I ran out of time to play, but it was good. I want to go back to it and try a few more. It's rare that games now have that sort of like old school map and level map like you would see in Nintendo games. It's kind of a nice throwback where you know what you're in, like a self-contained little area. So that's kind of nice. But I don't have too many other thoughts.
Another design observation that I'm not crazy about is there's these turrets that you have to destroy twice. And I find I destroy it and I just wait around for the other one to come back. And I'm like, I don't understand the design motivation for that. Like, this is kind of a fast, fun game. I don't know. I don't remember old Nintendo games doing that. And I'm like, this seems like a really odd choice because it's boring. I'm just, okay, I kill it and I wait around for another one to show up. And it's like, why? I don't understand.
I actually just started trying to platform through those areas as fast as I could without even killing anything, to try to get through them faster, because
maybe
it was
that's
really
it.
Slowing
maybe
me down.
Supposed to be the motivation.
Maybe.
Yeah, and one other little thing, you can't crouch in the game, which I was, I don't know if that's something maybe they add down the road. It seems like a
weird thing. Well, I think that's, isn't that how Ninja Gaiden works, the first one? Like you...
Is it? It might be.
Yeah, I think so.
It's been a while, but I guess that makes sense. I have one other quick thing to mention. So I played like a tiny bit of The Pedestrian, which is just out on PS4, PS5 this weekend. And I was kind of waiting for this one. It was out on Steam and had very good reviews, and I was interested, but saw it was coming to PlayStation, so I waited. And it's a puzzle platformer, and the kind of the gimmick concept is that you control, like, on a sign, like a street sign. Or, like a construction sign. Usually there's, like, a little stick man somewhere in there doing some sort of action. So you control the stick man and you move from sign to sign to get through the level. And it's kind of a cool idea. Like you have to connect the doors to go from sign to sign, and there's ladders and keys. They started adding some other things now. And it's cool because once you get past the first part, things you do on the sign start interacting with the environment that the sign is in. So like you start sort of affecting the real world, which is kind of cool. But I guess my one minor complaint, and it's kind of a nitpicky thing, but I just feel like the concept doesn't totally make sense, because it's like the signs that you're on don't really look like a real sign. You know what I mean? Like you've got platforms and ladders and stuff you're climbing on, and it's like, but that's not what a sign really looks like. But whatever, it's kind of just the hook that gets you into the game, and it's actually a pretty solid. The puzzles get pretty complex pretty quick, so I am enjoying it.
Nice. One thing I'm going to mention briefly is I had got an Oculus Quest. I think I said that. I can't remember what show, but I am debating returning it. I'm going to say that because the merging of accounts and having an Oculus account and a Facebook account is like brutal. I cannot get it to work. I've tried going through support. They are completely useless. And like, I've reached out and like, can someone just like, I've tried everything. Can someone talk to me and help me like figure out what's, I feel like I created two Facebook accounts accidentally. Like one got deleted. It's a disaster. I absolutely hate these accounts. And it really is making me just be like, fuck it. I'm returning this thing. So
Jay's going to love
this. If anyone from Facebook is listening, I don't know. Figure it out, because I'm getting so frustrated with your customer service. I'm almost done with this product.
Why don't you just start fresh and like uninstall the Oculus app?
I bought stuff with the Oculus account. So there's a 14-day return policy. So if I'm going to return it, I need to basically return those things and the electronics store and return the hardware. So.
Well, I'm sorry, because it's really good.
Well,
I don't totally understand the issue, but I don't know if so you get into it here.
Somewhere along the way, I created a Facebook account and opted to sign in through Facebook. I think it was trying to install the Oculus software, at least try to use it on a PC. Somewhere that got corrupted or some weird connection, and one lets me log in with Oculus, one won't. And I try to log in with just the Oculus, and it says, oh, this has been merged with a Facebook account. I try to log in with that, and it says, error, something is wrong, and I'm done. I can't take it anymore. This is way too complicated.
So you have to have one of each? Or
well, now I have to. I didn't know. I thought I had to create a Facebook account, and that happened, and now it seems like it's linking two different accounts, and I just want to like see that account and figure it out. So maybe if a listener knows a good way to sort this out. I have not been able to figure it out, but it's really annoying, and it's making me not want to look at the thing.
Yeah. So originally you had to have an Oculus account, and then when Facebook bought them, they eventually merged that into like essentially an Oculus / Facebook account. So you need essentially to have a Facebook account to get into the Oculus Quest 2.
Which that's what I thought too, and I created it, and now it's, anyway, we don't need to get into the specifics, but it's the worst customer service I've ever received.
Oh. Well, that sucks.
And there's no, you can't call anyone because so many people use these products. Like everything is a barrier to getting to actual help, and
fuck Facebook. Burn all these companies down. Well said, Frank. Well said.
All right. I think that's it. Anything else to add, gentlemen?
No.
That's okay. It for this week.
So check us out on youtube.com/GameJunk Podcast. And
Nope.
Just Game Junk. Fuck. I was getting ahead of myself, and it was like this programmed thing to say. Just Game Junk. My Angry Commute and Equilibrium Sys on Twitter and Film Junk on Twitter. And thanks for listening.
And Game Junk Podcast on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, that too. But whatever. Go to YouTube. All right. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye.